Welcome to the Radio Bible Course and our study of Hebrews chapter 11. Today we begin with verse 22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his burial. That's found in the last chapter of the book of Genesis. And I want to read just a couple of verses, beginning with verse 24. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. So we do see by the text here that Joseph had confidence that God would get those children of Israel into the land of Canaan, which he promised to Abraham and his descendants. That meant a delivery out of Egypt. Now, God had told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 that his descendants would be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. Surely Joseph knew about that promise God had made. In this confidence, he foretold the Exodus and insisted that his bones be carried there, into that promised land. Now, these three patriarchs, which we've been reading about, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, although failing to see the fulfillment of the promises in their lifetime, blessed their children in confidence and expected their children to inherit Canaan. God's covenant promised it. God cannot lie. So the land was a certainty. They died, but God's promise remained alive. Now we move on to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, which talks about Moses, another great man of faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. There never has been a Jew who did not know about Moses. He was the lawgiver and the leader of those enslaved people out of Egypt. In the first century, Jewish Christians were so obsessed with Moses that they were promoting Moses' laws even among Gentile Christians, because Moses was God's great prophet. In spite of human weakness, which all of us have, of course, Moses was strong in faith. He sided with the people of God who were slaves, instead of living in the comforts and pleasures of the royal family of Egypt. He was well educated. He was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. This man was no dummy. He was so well educated that he could have become the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But he went with the people of God instead of the royal family of Egypt, and that took faith. He must have known that God had plans for these people of Israel. Surely, the heritage of Abraham was taught by fathers to sons over the centuries. And Moses wanted to be a part of them, whether he suffered or not. He made a choice between Egypt and Israel. Now it takes similar faith to take your place with Christians today, to accept biblical standards of honesty, purity, and love, even in the face of ridicule or loss of favor from the world. It is unfortunate that so many of us grow up having been taught Christian standards, but we become deceived by the world and we want the world's approval. We want to be known as successful in the eyes of the world, and we forget that God doesn't measure success like the world does. And at the same time, He warns us, if you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And John the Apostle reminds the believers in that first century by writing, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but are of the world." Who we take our stand with says a lot about our faith. Now, I don't mean to imply that one needs to join in all the social movements in which some Christians have become almost fanatical. I'm speaking instead of identifying with true believers, not religious activities. True believers are in agreement with the interests of our ascended Lord. So we need to learn what Jesus wanted of believers and to take our stand with people who uphold Christ's purposes for us. I'm fascinated with what we read in verse 26 of this 11th chapter of Hebrews. It says, "He considered abuse suffered for the Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Did Moses know about the Christ? Well, our author wants these Hebrews to realize that in some respect, Moses was convinced of the coming Savior who would be born of these people, Israel. In all that he wrote from Genesis through Deuteronomy, he was portraying the coming Christ by types. There was the lamb that was sacrificed, and Jesus, of course, was called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There was the bronze serpent on the pole, and Jesus referred to that, making it a type also. For he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. There was the priesthood of Melchizedek, who is mentioned in the book of Genesis, but also mentioned in the book of Hebrews. And he was a type of Christ, because he was an eternal priest. And Psalm 110 tells us that God swore and said, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." That's a messianic prophecy. It was talking about the Son of God, who would be a priest. And is he a priest? He is now. He's in heaven. And he is called our great high priest, and he intercedes for us. There are more types in the Old Testament, many more. There's the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. There's the Sabbath rest, and many more. And of course, there's that famous prophecy in Deuteronomy 18:15 that foretold the coming of Jesus Christ 1,400 years later. God said he would raise up a prophet like Moses, like the people, and they should listen to him. And whoever wouldn't listen to that prophet, he would die. Well, verse 26 tells us he looked to the reward, which means he had spiritual insight into the salvation, which we know through the New Testament. Now, in verse 27, it tells us that he left Egypt. Now, that refers not to the Exodus, but earlier in Moses' life, when he fled to Midian following his killing of an Egyptian who was mistreating a Hebrew. The author says he left Egypt by faith, not because he feared the king who desired him killed for what he had done. Of course, Moses was afraid, Exodus chapter 2, states his fear as a fact. But our author interprets that passage with insight from the Spirit, and he believed that God wanted Moses to experience 40 years in Midian before he was ready for leadership of the children of Israel. Now listen to what is written in the book of Acts, chapter 7, beginning with verse 22. And Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians, and he was a man of power in words and deeds. But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. And when he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he defended him and took vengeance for the oppressed by striking down the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. And on the following day he appeared to them as they were fighting together, and he tried to reconcile them in peace, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you injure one another?" But the one who was injuring his neighbor pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? You do not mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday, do you?" And at this remark, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. And after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flame of a burning thorn bush. And when Moses saw it, he began to marvel at the sight. And as he approached to look more closely, there came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." And Moses shook with fear and would not venture to look. But the Lord said to him, "Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and have heard their groans, and I have come down to deliver them. Come now, and I will send you to Egypt." Now verse 27 says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That means he had a spiritual glimpse of the God of creation, and it compelled him to act, and it sustained him. The author of the book of Hebrews is here showing, as he has since verse 1 of this chapter on faith, that the physical is temporary, but the real land of promise is spiritual, where God is the builder. Listen to what Jesus said, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." This offer of salvation does not imply that God is lenient towards sin because he had his son crucified for your sins. You can learn much more about the Christian faith and the wonderful promises to all who believe by writing for our free booklet entitled Heaven's Password. Heaven's Password will teach you about the good promises of God and how you can know salvation. Until next week, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.